within a various different Yom Tovim during the year, the Avoda, the service that was done in a Beis Hamikdash compared to the service that we do is obviously different. We didn't bring the Kabbonis, don't bring the Kabbonis that you bring on Pesach, on Shavuos and Sukkos today, unfortunately, but it wasn't worlds apart. The Avodah on Yom Kippur, what we see today, what Ari Yom Kippur looks like, and what the real Yom Kippur was in a time when there's a Beis Hamikdash, was literally worlds apart. You know, we don't eat, and you know, we don't drink, and there's many things that we do in order to keep with the Torah's chiyuvim of Yom Kippur. But our Avodas Yom Kippurim, the work that was done in the Beis Hamikdash, was able to influence the person to do tshuva, was able to influence tshuva to be able to bring back a result that we were sure about. We don't know whether tshuva was miskabel. In those times, we knew that tshuva was miskabel. It was a very, very unique day. It was a time when the Beis Hamikdash was used as to its greatest extent. We had the Kohen Gadol, went the only time, lifnayim v'lifnayim, went inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Ema, the fear, the Yira, the Shtachavoya, what we do during the Musaf of Yom Kippur, where we bow, Koyim Shtachavim. People saw this. It was a life-changing event. It was something that impacted on them on that day and the whole year round. And unfortunately, don't have that. What we do have is a tefillah on Yom Kippur that is supposed to somehow substitute for the Avodah. And obviously what we do have are the lessons that are supposed to be taught that took place in time of the Beis Hamikdash that's supposed to impact our Yom Kippur today. And of the different Avodas that were done, there's one very, very strikingly incredible Avoda that was done. And we Loshon Ora Chaim, which is one I think one of the strongest languages I've ever seen. Parsha Zub, Lokach Shnei Seirim. It's got to do with the parsha of taking the two Seirim. The halacha is, you got to take two Seirim, two goats that look the same, that are the same height, they're exactly identical, cost the same, everything, biduk the same. And we take one, and we make that goyrel la'ashem, we make that to be a goyrel, to be set aside for the Aveda, for the Beis Hamikdash, where you take it, and you shecht it, and you bring the blood inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And there is another Seir, the identical other Seir is chosen in Azazel, and that is taken out, not shechted, that is taken out to a midbar and thrown off a cliff. Right? So the Orachayim says, Parsha Zut Tzrichel Amidoy. This parsha requires incredible amount of information over here. Kiloma Yitzava Hashem Dova Kazeh. Why should a Kaddish Baruch Hu command such a thing? Ve'im hi. If it's one of the things that has no real reason, it's what you call a choik, then in the beginning of the parasha say it's a choik, it's something you don't understand, introduce this concept of la'azazel as a choik, but it doesn't say that. Based on the Zohar Kodesh, ki azazel hi bechinas tzad hara, that kaviyochel azazel is actually focusing on the dark side, what we would call. And therefore what we're doing is we're giving our Azazel, one to Hashem, to the side of good, and we're actually giving one of the Seirim to the side of bad. We're giving him Shoicha, the Zohar Kodesh says. What we're doing is we're bribing the dark side. He said, Hine ze kmat chas v'sholem. It's chas v'sholem. It almost seems like a Avodah Zarah. Uma gam shemitzava Hashem nahash v'yisoy shel Hashem nesoy shel dover acher hadvarim mavhilim. It is incredible. It's incredulous. He cannot understand at this stage. How can it possibly be this Avodah? More than that, Rabbi say. Much, much more than that. The Gemara says that the Soir Lashem, the soil they brought into the Soir Lashem, helped for a certain form of kapara. What is it help for? Rambam says in Perhilchus Tshuva, Perik Aleph, Halacha Beis, that the soil Hashem helped for chatos shel korban pork parakli nodal, it helped for avoda achas tumas mikdosh gadoshov. The person brought in tum into the base of mikdosh, then the soil Hashem helped for that avera. In other words, he brought the korban soil Hashem into the base kodesh kadoshim to repair one very small element, one would seem a very small aspect of tshuva. What did Soil HaMishtaleach do? Says the Rambam in Perik Hilchshul, Perik Aleph Halacha Beis, Mechape al kol averos shebatoira hakalis vachamuras, is mechape for every aver in a Torah, whether it's kal, whether it's a light aver, or whether it's a stringent aver. Bein sh'ova bezodoin, whether it's done intentionally. Ben sh'ova bishkogo, whether it was done unintentionally. Ben sh'hoide loy, ben sh'loy hoide, whether they knew about it, didn't know about it. Hakol mischaper b'soy hamishtaleach. Every avera has a kapora with the aveda that is done with soy mishtaleach. V'hu sh'osu tshuva, as long as you did tshuva with it. Avolim loy osu tshuva, what happens if you did not do tshuva with a soy mishtaleach? Does it have any effect? He said, in that case, ein hasoy mechaper loy ela ala kalis. Then a soy mishtaleach still does have an effect, but it only helps you for the averus that are kalis, light averus. What are the averus that are kalis? So he says, the chamuros are the ones on misa space in the chorus. Shvo shav sheke. What are kalis? V'sham mitzvahs loisasei, or mitzvahs asei she'ein behem chorosim akalis. Chaza. Yeah, all the different averus of the loisaseis and the aseis, even without tshuva, the soy hamishtaleach is able to do kapora for. So the soy Hashem only did something for very small of kedusha, of tahara, the base of mikdash. Every other avera of the rest of Klal Yisrael that had no connection with tumas mikdash kedushov, that the soy hamishtaleach helps. How does that work? How does it work? It helps with bittul Torah, it helps with lashon hara, it helps for asay, didn't put on tefillin, didn't say kriyushma. The soy hamishtaleach helps for that. What do you do to soy hamishtaleach? What avoda do you do to it? Nothing. You take it out with an ish iti, with this man, in the midbar, and take it and you crush it. How does that represent the avoda that Yom Kippur has to able to eradicate, to cleanse us of all these averes? How does that work? So Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch, whenever you want to look at some kind of taimei ha-mitzvah, other than looking in, obviously, the chinuch, the Shamshon Fol Hirsch is a voice of reason. It is a rationale behind the various different mitzvahs. And he says something very, very powerful. I've said it in the past. But the vot is something that is a timeless vot. He says, in any situation, in any person in chinuch, there always has to be something that we know as the carrot and the stick. There has to know, a child has to know, that if he behaves well, he gets rewarded. If he behaves badly, he gets punished. That is a basic tenet of chinuch. And a person who lives in a society has to know as well, if he was working in a good job, if he behaves well, he may get promotion. Or he'll certainly get paid. If he doesn't behave well, and if he does, you know, doesn't come to work on time, and he does mess up the books, then he will be fired. There will be consequences. There's reward and there's punishment. He said, in every single one of us, there is something called the so'ir. A so'ir, a goat, is an uncontrollable animal. It's a wilde chaya. It's a wild animal. It jumps and it climbs and it hops and it climbs on here and it eats things that it shouldn't eat. It's a wild animal. He said, we have two se'irim. We have two identical looking goats. And our avoda begins with these two goats. One is a soy lashem. One of these goats is a soy that's going to be used for a bein shleil. And what is that? It's a vildachai. We are born with a tendency to not want to have any kind of constraints. To live our life in a way that we want to be a soy, a vildachai. If a person has a sense, he is able to control his bahamis, to control the soir inside him, and he can actually become a vildachai for the right things. He can have incredible passion to learn Torah. He can have incredible passion to do mitzvahs. He can be uncontrolled in the good things in life. He doesn't have to sleep that much. He doesn't have to eat that much. He is wild. This person doesn't sleep. He loves a whole El Shishi. A person can use the Sair inside him to be controlled in a way that is actually completely uncontrollably good. That is a Sair Hashem. And that's Samachayim. It gives you one's life. And he's taken, and this person who actually controls that part of the Sair inside him, he goes and eventually he becomes Kadosh. He goes in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he goes Lifnai B'Lifnim. He becomes a Chelik of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim inside, connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. A person can live one's life in a way that he can completely take himself and make himself Kodesh. And does not mean, Rabbi, so none of the Art Scroll books say, yeah, you get people who are Kodesh Merech, and you read these books, or the Gedolim books, and, you know, and this Gadol was, at the age of three, he was a Tzadik Yisoid Olam, and his whole life in him. These are not realistic. It's not realistic. There are plenty of Gedolim, I'm not going to names, who describe the incredible challenges they had in Poshut being decent individuals. And they broke their character. And they controlled their passion for bad things, and they became Gedolei Olam. And they came Kodesh Hashem. How many Balei Tshuva today had a party life beforehand? They were wild. And they took it, and they controlled themselves. And they made changes in their life where they became Kodesh Hashem mamash. It's moving, you know. Some people, you know, where the past to the present. And they became Kodesh Hashem. This is a Kleach of the Sair to be Kodesh Hashem. The Sadsheni. You can have a person who's a Sair, who's a person who takes, is identical. They start off on exactly the same path. They're standing next to each other, looked exactly the same. And he took his Sair, and he took his goat, and he became a Vilda Chaya. And he was not interested in Avodah. And he wanted to be free. He wanted to travel. He left the Beis HaMikdash. He left him behind. He goes out. And he goes out and smells a fresh air of freedom. Travels the world. There's no kashrus. There's no Shabbos. He wants to be free. And what does he do when he passes his Sair, that frumma, that frum friend, is shechted, his blood is spilt, and looks at him in mockery, and he says, ah, look at him. Look at me, look at him. This person wants to be a frumma, he's taken and he's shechted, and his blood is spilt. I'm not interested in this, I walk out. Not only that, how many kabbalists walk out of the Beis HaMikdash, and I am free. Look at me, I'm going for a nice tiyul in Yom Kippur. And eventually he gets taken, and you know what, you want to be free, you want to be under the powers of nature, then nature will control you, and you're thrown down from the top of a cliff, and your bones are crushed to nothingness. This is a lesson of Sairim on Yom Kippur. We can have both two people looking exactly the same. It's nothing to do with rich or poor, it's nothing to do with wise or stupid, it's got to do with, do I want to be a Sair Lashem, or do I want to be a Sair Lazozel? I'm standing in Yom Kippur now. Do I want my year to be the same as last year, where unfortunately I was not so much a Sair Hashem? Or do I want next year to be a year where I want to focus my energies, to focus my and challenge myself to be able to become more Kodesh? Or, Chalila, one can go and just be free and end up a Sair Azazel. Say the Shem Shafol Hish, that is a message of the state Sairim. But that does answer a lot of questions. It does answer why you have two Seirim, why they got to look the same. It does answer that. It does not answer, though, what the Zohar HaKadosh says. The Zohar HaKadosh is an incredible Zohar HaKadosh. I'll read what it says. The Zohar HaKadosh is brought down, if you have most Machzorim have it, by the Avodah. And I'll read out what he says. I'm not going to read out in Aramaic, but the translation is as follows. He says, the whole element, the whole concept, beautiful, beautiful piece. Doesn't need my, you know, my skoma, but it's a beautiful piece of Zohar Kodesh. He said the whole concept of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot is a muscle from the Torah. He says on Rosh Hashanah, there's Midas Hadin is Shoilet. The Midas Hadin, real judgment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make the world in real judgment. He wants to create the world. Rosh Hashanah, the world is recreated in real judgment. And the Midah, whose judgment, whose din? That's Yitzchok. That is Yitzchok. This is Midah Sadin. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to recreate the world, every year new, Uminas adin, vatichieno ein of morois. It becomes a situation where he could no longer see. He could no longer see the rachamim, as it were, and he wants to create the din. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do in Rosh Hashanah? He calls in the Midas HaDin, he calls in the Makatrigim, he calls in the Yetzirah, and he says to his son Esav, who's represented as the Yetzirah, come, bring me in all the terrible avarice that Klal Yisrael did this year. Soidoli tzayid v'haveli mat'amin, bring me something that you have conquered, something that you have hunted, bring me the avarice of Klal Yisrael, let's see how I should punish them, let's see how I should create the world in a way that is a Midas HaDin. And as soon as Rivka hears that, Rivka Kavayochel, another part of the Shechina, goes and calls Yaakov Avinu, and he calls Klal Yisrael, and she says to Yaakov, Yaakov dresses up in Tfilis and Makoshes, and he comes in with a koil called Yaakov with Tfilah and Rosh Hashanah, and he nichnas el Aviv, he comes to the Shechina, vayigashrei vayoychal, and he brings his Tfilis and his crying and his compassion, and he asks his father, Kaviochel Yitzchok, which is Din, to have mercy. And Yaakov brings him his food. What's his food? He brings in the mitzvahs, and the tefillahs, and the bakoshas, and the kol shofar. Vayorach es reach begodov. And the Kaviochel, the Rebbein Shalom, smells the beauty of his begodim, and he's appeased. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu's cast goes away. After that, after Rosh Hashanah goes, Klal Yisrael don't have the din of Rosh Hashanah. Carries on the Zayah Kodesh. After that, Vayistoim Esav is Yaakov. Esav runs after Yaakov. During the Seres Mei Tshuva, to make Lekatrig Olav Kitrugim Noiroim, during these days, he comes on Rebbein Shalom. This is Yaakov you had Rachmanus on. This is Yaakov who you are compassionate to. And Yaakov Avinu runs away and he does Tshuva during the days of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And when Yom Kippur comes along, and Yaakov is met by Esau with 400 men. Who are these 400 men? The Yetzirah with all the Mekatrigim, all the terrible, terrible things a person did the whole year. Esau has come along with an army. Yaakov is terribly, terribly afraid. He's come now, the Yetzirah has accumulated this army during the Seres Mei Tshuva. And it comes now to Yom Kippur, and it's Yaakov against Esau with 400 men. So what did Yaakov do? He has an idea. Achapra pona b'mincha ha'ilechas afonai. I will try and get out of it with a gift that I'll give to Esau. Vayikach min abo b'yod de mincha izim masayim. Yaakov even takes goats, 200, gives it to Esau. That's a remez of the soy ha'mishtaleach. Yaakov even takes the soy ha'mishtaleach in the Beis HaMikdosh, And Esav Harosha accepts that gift. He accepts it, and because of that, Vizman Neila Nistalik Hamakatrig Legamri. Because of that, the Esav leaves Yaakovina behind, and then the Katrig, the accuser, Esav the Rosha, the Yetzahara, the Sotan, leaves, and Yaakovina is left alone. Vayesha Vayosha Bayemahu Esav Adaka. Esav goes in his way. What happens after that? With such a simcha, Yaakovina carries over Yaakov Nosa Sukoiso Vayivan Ibais Miknea Osa Sukois. Arkane Koroshe Mokim Sukois. With the joy of having Makatrin going away, Yaakovina builds a sukkah. And that's where you go from Yom Kippur to sukkahs. Ad Khan Divrei Hazoya Kodesh. The question is, how does Esav, how does the Makatrin leave us by the fact that Yaakovina gave him a gift? What is this gift? If the gift is some kind of compromise deal we have with the Yetzirah, we don't negotiate with terrorists. Klal, we don't negotiate with terrorists. If a Rasha wants to be Makatrig with us, we don't come to some deal with him, some sweet deal, we release a bit of this, we give a bit of that. If it's right to give him gifts, give it in the beginning. We don't compromise, we don't deal with terrorists. Esav is a terrorist. What is this idea of giving him a gift? And it's like a shoychad, it's a kind of a shoychad, like some kind of a bribery. We don't bribe, we don't negotiate with terrorists. The Ramban says very clearly, She'sa'ir zeh hine b'b'chinas shoychad. The Ramban uses it as a shoychad, as some kind of bribery. What is this bribery that we give Esav that he leaves us alone from here? Besides like this. It's very clear that every year the world is recreated. Rosh Hashanah is a new recreation of the world. And with a new recreation of the world, there's a certain element of prioritizing. You know, if a person has a pull in his suit, or it's a little bit crumpled, or there's a button missing, if it's an old suit, it's no big deal. If he goes to a store and he wants to buy a brand new suit, and he sees there's a pull in the cuff, or it's a bit shiny on the sleeve, or there's a button missing, he'll say something. We're living in a new world today. It's not the same world we were living in before Rosh Hashanah. We're living in a new world. And when a Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking which suits Kaviyochel he wants to have in his world, he doesn't want a tatty suit. He doesn't want a suit that's worn. He wants a brand new, beautiful looking suit. The world is being recreated in Din. We're coming with a new world, with a new world order, as it were. So how do we deal with this? How do we get around this Din? What do we do with this? What do we do with this? So there's a beautiful, beautiful piece of Shimshon Pinchas. I hope he won't mind if I tone it down a bit. He has very, very strong expectations from brought down in his Shurim, and I'm not going to mention everything because I don't believe everyone listening to the Shurim are capable at this stage of necessarily holding that absolutely the way he would want it, but the direction and the focus is 100% in the right direction. He says every korban represents something. And the Mefarshim say that the answer to the kasha, how is it that the Soya Mishtaleach, all the Averis go in the Soya Mishtaleach, and on the Soir, the Hashem is only very few. Yeah? So he brings down the Maznaim Torah, bring down that the korbanos very much represent ourselves. In other words, you've got to picture ourselves. And it's much more stark, the moshel of what happens, or the tshuva, what happens to a person who gets crushed by, if he's a sorry mishtaleach, then the, you know, very gentle approach that we do with the soya Hashem. And therefore the averus, many more averus can be put down, or get pushed away with the soya mishtaleach than with the soya Hashem. Okay. So that every korban represents a moshel. It's a moshel of us, ourselves. One takes ourselves and one shechts it, and we should really be the behemoth that's being shechted. And we take it and we actually use a korban as a representation of an animal instead of ourselves. Listen to this carefully. He says like this. He said, we're living in a world today where a major focus on the existence of a person's being is what we call entertainment. Yeah, entertainment, the film industry. He said the film industry, television, films, video games, yeah, the amount of violence that is in these things is incredible. He brings out a statistic over here that a regular child sees in a regular month 300 murders and 2,000 maise alimut, violent acts, on an average time. He brought down from a this is not a seker, not a a survey he took in an Ofakim. Yeah, he took it from a, I don't know what kind of survey it was, from the BBC or whatever it was. That he took a survey that an average child sees 300 murders and 1,000 acts of violence on a regular month. And why don't people do something about it? Obviously, it does affect the child. It's very often we hear a child plays video games and he goes along and he does a terribly violent act. So why is it that the world don't stand by and they say, Rabbi Yisrael, we've got to stop something here. This is crazy. We shouldn't allow children to go along to see these violent acts. So he says the question is poshut etos mikora. The whole question is wrong. He said a Jew, a regular Jew, sees the most important element of life is life. Is life, is life itself. And you know what? A non-Jew, a Westerner, what we call the Western world, also appreciates life. But it doesn't stop them loving violence. he said the bracha of Esav, the dynamic of Esav is al chabucha tichye, that you will live on your sword. Your violence is not something that is another element of life. It is in part and parcel, it's very part of the fabric of a Westerner, is to enjoy and to relish violence. He said, Baruch Hashem, the world has developed. Baruch Hashem, violence today takes form, you know, in front of an Xbox or a DVD, where people aren't really murdered. Yeah? All make-believe. You know that, Adam? Yeah, it's all make-believe. Right? It's not real. It's not real. He said, in the old days, things are much worse. They had the gladiators, where they would take human beings who are slaves in the time of the Romans and put them in an arena, and bloodthirsty yells, they put the thumbs up, go kill him, and they'd kill each other. He said the world developed from then and turned into bullfighting. And the bullfighting, in truth, when people are there to watch a bullfight, is not to see, what's the man called it of it?
The matador.
The matador is not to see the matador giving the bow at the end. It's hoping that they're going to see something a little bit more interesting than that. You know, a good fight would be when he gets completely trampled and he gets a horn right through his nostril. That is mamish. Ah!
The matador has to kill the bull.
Or the bull kills
right,
the matador.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so even the worst case scenario, as far as they're concerned, is a bull gets killed, you know. Yeah, but a matador, yeah, that is great. You know, a person walks along a tightrope. The tightrope in the circus, and that's child's entertainment, yeah? Are you really that interested that the person got to the other side? Or just perhaps, maybe, they want something else? The world lives. A boxing match. He said a boxing match of taking two human beings who had Tselem and Akim. And the idea is to completely knock the other guy out. The teeth and the bites and the bitten chewed off ears in my day, yeah? It was mamish, you know, it was like, incredible, you know. That was a fantastic fight when Mike Tyson takes a piece of ear and spits it on the mat. That was like, wow, what a fight. That was like that is Tselem Elokim to Tselem Elokim, and that is a passion, that is a love. People are willing to spend huge amounts of money to have a ringside seat. This is not something you want to do away with. This is their life. On the other hand, Lahavdol, an El Chiyid. What is his passion? What does he enjoy? A good kasher Rabbi Akiva Iger. He sits down by himself in a quiet room with his wobbly shtender and a dim light, and he understood the Rambam better. He said Kiddush on Friday night with his family and his Mekadosh Rabbeinu Shalom in the world. What different worlds are there? There's two different worlds. And these worlds are the different worlds of Yaakov and Esav. He said, you know, he brings over here that he remembers when he was in Cheder, Rav Shimshon Pinkus remembers in Cheder, the Menahel once came to give a sicha, came to give a talk. And he said he once went to a house of somebody where he was watching a television, and on television was a boxing match. And this person was glued to the screen, he was enjoying, he was relishing every moment. And he said he literally felt nauseous. He literally felt nauseous. It wasn't something that was possible. Horror films. You know, the more gory and bloody they are, the more enjoyable they are for some people. Where does this come from? Where's the source of this? So he says, these are the two Se'irim on Yom Kippur. On one hand, we have the Sa'ir that's Kuloi Ruchni. It's a Sa'ir who's interested in not going out to the world. He's interested in being the base Kodesh HaKadoshim, taking him in a quiet, gentle way, doing the Shechita without the noise, without the crowds, going along and going to be sprinkled his blood in Kodesh HaKadoshim. That is the Olam HaTorah. That is the Olam of the Bnei Torah who wish to live in that world. The other world cannot believe that people want such a thing. Why should people want to sit and learn? Let's help them out of their misery. Let's make sure they all go to the army. Let's close down the yeshivas. Let's cut down any possibility, because it cannot possibly be that these people actually enjoy learning. They're suffering. I believe many of these people actually have sympathy for the yeshivas, and they actually believe they're doing a good thing. There are some people who are clearly doing, believe they're doing the wrong, the terrible thing. But I believe that many of the chilonim who are being brought up, unfortunately, in a Western society where it's all about action and all about glitter and glamour and what the Hollywood represents as a real life of Esav, believe that Nebuch, people who can sit and learn, if they sat down and gave themselves the opportunity to be able to focus what it's like to be in a base kodesh kadoshim, what it's like to be in a yeshiva, what it's like to have a connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, who's a kol yochel, who's a netzach, then it's a different world. So what do? Listen to this unbelievable vort. What he says is, the conflict is, there's a conflict going on over here. Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov is a kodesh kadoshim. Esav brings all the makatrigim. What do? We say to Esav, I'm going to give you shoychad. What is shoychad? What is shoychad? Shoychad is where you have a judge who's judging between two people, right? Judging between two people of a $1 million case. So the judge goes into his chambers and he calls one of the sides in and says, you're standing to win $1 million if I judge accordingly. I'll give you $100,000. You give me $100,000 and I'll make sure you win. That is shoychad. What we say to Esav is, Esav, you want us to be part of you. There's conflict over here. There's conflict. There's two sides over here. There's Yaakov's side and there's Esav's side. Esav is running after us. Hey, what's going on? What's going on over here? He's Mekatrigim. He comes to make war. We say to Esav, you don't understand, Esav. We are not making war with you. We Poshut are not fighting with you. We live in a different world. We don't want to have anything that you want. We want to have our world and you want to have your world. In other words, what we're saying over here is, Esav, we want Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's what we want. You're coming along and think we're challenging you. We're not challenging you. You know what? If you want your Sa'ir, we give you your Sa'ir. We give you your violence. Take your Sa'ir. Take it with you. We don't want it. We'll give it to you. Take it out and enjoy yourself. Take this Sa'ir and take it and smash it off the mountains. That's what you enjoy. That is what you enjoy. That is your passion. Violence, action. This, the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach, represents violence. Represents action. Represents entertainment. Can you imagine taking a Sa'ir, throwing it down, falling down, crushing? That is what you want. We're not interested in that. This is Shoychad. Shoychad means we're putting it to the side and saying, I'm not interested in you, you're not interested in me. It's two different worlds over here. You take what you want. What do you want? I'll give you something small. You want violence, you want action, you take it. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in being based kodesh kadoshim. What we do, and so therefore, how does that work? How does it work that by doing that to Esav, all the Mekatrigim fall away? How is it that by Esav getting what he wants, all the Averas fall away? How does that work? Says Rav Shimshon Pinkus like this. Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Metshuva is a focus on what's Osa and what's Mutter. Looking into ourselves, what is Osa and what is Mutter? What is permitted and what is forbidden? And making Cheshbon Nefesh. Did I do the right thing to this person? Did I do the right thing to that person? Did I eat what I should be eating? Did I say what I should be saying? Yeah, that's Cheshbon Nefesh, that's Osa and Mutter. When it comes to Yom Kippur, it's not about Osa and Mutter. It is about which machne do we belong to. Do we look at the Western world and look at them with, you know, wow, that's great. Unfortunately, we can't be part of that, but I'd like to be. Or do we say, you know what, I want nothing to do with it. I want nothing to do with it. Unfortunately, we're living amongst the Western world, and we're very, very vastly outnumbered. But that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for this action. I'm not looking for this razzle-dazzle. I am looking with a connection with Ribbono Shel Olam. It's two different worlds. I want to be the base kodesh kadoshim. I do not want to have the side mishtaleach. I have no interest. Once we disconnect ourselves from that world, then all our veras fall away. We want to be the Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't want to have that world bichlal. That world that all our veras began with gets taken away from us and we remain with our back to our source of Kedusha with Rabbeinu Shlalom. I'm not going into what he says. He talks about holidays, and he talks about radio, and he talks about newspapers, and he talks about children's books, and we're not ready for that. I don't believe we're all ready for that, and some of us maybe we are. But what he's saying over here is we have to know which machne we belong to. Yom Kippur, it's not about osa mutter. Someone's going to come and say to you, where does it say it's osa? He brought beautiful mice of Yossel Chaim Sonnenfeld. You know, they're trying to push today in the schools in Israel, you know, education for children. And we're doing very well education-wise. I must tell you, Baruch Hashem, you know, people want to make a panosa or headhunted by the big companies after they leave yeshivas. If they need to go to work, they go to work and they do it very, very well. You know, we make up for a lot of lost time. A person who's a Gemara cop, or, you know, even in Chutz Oretz, the Japanese companies look for people who have learned Gemara. Yeah, my father showed me a newspaper cutting that they actually teach Gemara. That a lot of Japanese families have a whole Gemara at home because they see how wise the Jews are. Yeah, the Gemara learners. Yeah, we don't do that badly. We don't do that badly. Baruch Hashem, we're okay. So we want to force upon us their educational system, which comes with it the drugs and the knives and the violence and the children and the parents who are threatened and the children who are threatened and the teachers who are threatened. And this is all a system that is really, really falling apart. And he says, I once asked of Yossel Chaim Sonnenfeld, why don't you allow to learn in the cheder a little bit of mathematics or geography? What's wrong? So, you know, so you'd say, you deal with your kids, we'll deal with our kids, we're fine, thank you. Nobody's asking you for anything. So he says, beautifully, he said, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Akuf Yutesim Beis, Al Tigu B'Mashichi, who don't, Tigu B'Mashichi, don't chepper, don't harass our Mashiach. Who is that? Elu T'Noikhi Shal Beis Rabbam. These are children yeshiva. He says, every child is called Mashiach. If Mashiach would be here, would you force him to learn mathematics? If Mashiach would be here, would you force him to learn geography? Every one of our children has ability to be Mashiach. Some may not make it. But this is an opportunity we have living in a world of Torah. Yes, we do have to do business. And yes, we may have to travel. And yes, we do have to have holidays sometimes, because that's where we are. We have been influenced and we do things in a way that is kosher the best we can. Yes. But where is our enthusiasm? Where is our passion? Where do we really want to be? And you know what? Every single Jew wants to be in the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. You know, you see on Yom Kippur, not so much in the frum areas, but in the more mixed areas, people don't see the holy around. You know, Nebuch, boys, you know, the little couples on that they took from the outside with earrings and nose rings and who knows what, and they come to shul and they daven with tears in their eyes. You know, there's a story. Who is it? Moshe's father, what's it called?
Abramov.
Rev Abramov said he sent off a group of boys, a group of Avreichim, to go to a kibbutz in one part of Eretz Yisrael. Not the exact figures over here, one part of Eretz Yisrael, that they had within their protocol, they'll never have a shul. They never have a shul. And he sent over a group of people over there to make a minion. So notice went around in the town, in a kibbutz, there's a minion. So they brought with them 20 machzorim, being very optimistic, 20 machzorim in case people want to come and daven. He said on that night, there were over 100 people came to daven. He said by the time it came to Ne'ilah, there were hundreds of people, each one pouring over a machzor. People had never been to the shul before. People did not know what looked like inside the shul. This is Klal Yisrael. There's inside every one of us is a Kol Yaakov. It's somebody who wants to do Ratzon Hashem. Don't get influenced when the media tells us what Jews want us to do. It's not. There is a passion and desire to come close to Rabbeinu Shlalom. I just want to finish off with a beautiful piece from Moshe Feinstein says. He says, he said, not with chesem and not with maisim we come in front of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we say. Lei b'chesed, not with kindness. Yeah, lei b'chesed v'lei b'maisim. He said, what's pshat lei b'chesed v'lei b'maisim? What does it mean? What's chesed and what's maisim? He said, it's not enough for a Jew to have to do a mitzvah. It's not enough that Torah commands me to do a maisa chesed, and that is why I do a maisa chesed. I have to want to do a Maisa Chesed. I have to be tuned in to be running after doing a Maisa Chesed. Le'be Chesed, le'be Maisa means not only do we not have the Chesed, not only are we not Balei Chesed, not only are we not kind, we don't even do the Maisa either. In other words, there's two separate things. There's an element of being a Baal Chesed, and there's an element of actually doing the action itself. Being a person who loves Chesed, and actually doing the Chesed itself. That's Le'be Chesed, le'be Maisa. Klal Yisrael is in an incredibly painful situation right now. Incredibly painful situation right now. From the inside and from the outside. We have challenges today that never ever took, that were never around. Whether it's the internet, whether it's the media, it is so, it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible to educate children today, to educate ourselves today, to leave behind the Western filth. It's not even entertainment today. It's filth, and stay in a close and narrow. Were it not for the fact that Rabbi Shlomo has put inside us ability to be that sawyer, to be that sawyer who's going to stand there and say, "No, I don't want this. It doesn't give me pleasure." Let them take their sawyer. Let them take their everything they want. Their entertainment. There's no connection with two separate groups over here. We are living for the Rabbi Shlomo. We're living for morality. We're living for compassion. We're living for chesed. We're living for our families and for the klal and for the goyim as well, to bring back normality back to the world. But that is what we want to do. The two seirim are stood in front of the kohen gadol. One chooses the Hashem, and one chooses the Azazel. But as Hashem should give us siyata d'shmaya, to give us a gemach hasima toiva, that we should realize, as time goes on during the service, make tshuva, and if not, at least by the time it comes to Yom Kippur, that it's not about what's mutter and what's osa. It's about where do we want to be? Where do we associate ourselves being? Which machne do we belong to? And Be'ez Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us a Gemach HaSim HaToiva, a year of tremendous Yath Dishmaya, to fulfill our Rotzen, and Be'ez Hashem, bring ourselves back and bring those around us back as well.
Amen.